Hey there, welcome back. Hey, the end of 2020 is nearby, and I want to make this opportunity to thank you for your support and listening in on my podcast. I hope you've enjoyed my tips and bits and also my awesome guests I've chatted with. Thank you to those amazing people too. It's been amazing to see where you are all from. I have listeners from Australia, Tunisia, Guatemala, Hungary, Somalia, New Zealand, South Africa, Thailand, the UK, USA, Israel, Netherlands, India, Philippines, and Canada. So that is super amazing and inspiring, and I am just so grateful to know that, everyone's listening from everywhere, and I really do hope that you're enjoying it. And give me some feedback and, you know, let me know what you like, what you don't like. You can contact me at readysetgoalpodcast.com, you know that, or even write a review. So it's been an interesting year, to say the least. We've all been put under some sort of strain from this massive world pandemic, yeah? We've been forced to do things we may not have wanted and still doing, but we also have been forced to think and be creative, even in simple things such as other ways to communicate with our loved ones, for instance. And we've experienced highs and lows and deep loss, but also experienced deep gratitude for life and the simple things we may have once took for granted. I'm going to take a small break and I will be back in 2021. So once again, thank you. And I wish you all a happy festive season and a promising new year. Here's my last awesome guest for this year, 2020. Welcome to Ready, Set, Goal podcast that helps you turn your dreams into reality. We'll give you your regular dose of motivation along with insights to help you achieve your goals. I share awesome conversations with guests who will inspire us and share their secrets behind their success in achieving their goals. I'm Donna Campisi, an inspirational speaker, author, and adventurer. I'm excited to bring you this podcast. Are you ready? Let's do it. On Ready, Set, Go. Alexandra Andre grew up on the family farm in South Australia. Having developed a love of running from an early age, she got a taste of what's possible when she completed her first marathon in 2008. After years of injuries that followed, she continued to chase a second marathon, but Alex chose to take on an even greater challenge in 2015. I can't believe this. This is more than a marathon. The toughest one-day sporting event in the world, Ironman Melbourne. What it is a 3.8 kilometer swim, for those who don't know, 180 kilometer ride, that's cycling, and a 42.2 kilometer run, which is the marathon at the end. I can't even imagine, I've done a marathon, but I cannot imagine doing all of that other stuff before. This became bigger than she first imagined, a dedication to her good friend Mads, which, yeah, I'd love to get into more of that when we chat further, and support from an amazing cheer squad, which really helps, a life-changing moment, and now a book to inspire us all through her awesome journey. It's a great book too, by the way. Since then, Alexandra has run a further 4 marathons and launched her own business. Her purpose is to inspire possibility. Love it. And she works with individuals and businesses to do just that. She lives in Melbourne with her son, James. The Power of Possibility is Alexandra's first book. She wrote it to share what she learned on her journey in the hope it might help others on theirs. I first met Alexandra myself a few years ago, and she was so super excited because Alexandra is also a speaker, and she was telling her story in the way of speaking and with such enthusiasm. And I just thought, I cannot wait to read this book because, yeah, it has so much more in it than just a 30-minute talk. So now we all have a chance to speak. Hey, welcome, Alex. How are you?
Hi, Donna. I'm wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity to share some of my story. It's wonderful speaking with you today.
Yeah, good to have you here. Hey, tell us about the Ironman. Where did that idea first come from? That is a huge goal. We talk about goals here, and what the hell?
Yeah, sure. I hear you. And that was my mum's response when I found the courage to tell her I'd signed up to it as well. Absolutely. And even hearing those distances back now, even having done the event, I still think they're ridiculous, and they are. But I guess in terms of, excuse me, how I found myself even contemplating it, it was really the encouragement and suggestion of friends. Yeah. I talk about seed planters, and I think we all have so many opportunities around us all the time, and sometimes we're open to them and sometimes we're not. And this one I was initially not open to. I was in the running and triathlon community. I was in a running club, so there were people that did marathons all the time and did these big Ironman events as well. And initially it was put to me as a suggestion that I should do one, and having done one marathon before, and yeah, I instantly dismissed it. I just thought that was just ridiculous. At the time I was injured, I couldn't run more than about 10 or 12 Ks. So I shut the idea down instantly. But it was one of those ideas that just kept being suggested to me. It kept, you know, sometimes those things just keep bubbling away in the background or on our radar. And eventually over time, I almost let it in to contemplate and to ponder. It was really initially introduced to me by friends, and it was...
Were these running friends? Someone that had already done an Ironman, or?
Friends who had done marathons and who had done Ironmans before as well. So they were, I was in a community of people that had done, you know, a lot of these big goals that for them it was almost normal. But as you know, we sit here talking about it, it's not normal for the majority of the population. so that's really how it was initially put to me. And I before I'd met these friends, I didn't even know what an Ironman was.
I can relate to that with the marathon experience too myself. Hey, so these people that suggested it and planted those seeds were actually people that, like you confirmed just then, that had done an Ironman before. So they must have had such great faith in you to even suggest this. And what they may have watched you within your running group, or your actual physical energy, or your mental, or both, or your enthusiasm for life, or
I think you're spot on there. I think they saw something in me before I saw it. They had a belief in me that I did. And as one put it, she said, "You've got what it takes." And it was when she said that I think I really heard that spoke through me, and I thought, well, maybe I do have what it takes. I think it was their belief in me. I'm very much a doer, not just a talker. So I generally, I don't just talk about goals. If I'm serious about them, I sign up and have a go at them. So they saw something in me. And it was only when the suggestion had been put to me a number of times that I really started to contemplate it. And then getting perspective on life when my good friend got really sick, that was the trigger for me actually signing up to the Ironman. So I think it was really their belief in me that I could do it and did have what it takes. I think that was probably why they kept suggesting it.
So apart from having that cheer squad, I like to call it, with that group of friends and so forth, I mean, how do you actually keep motivated yourself? Did you need that constantly, or is it some sort of tips or bits that you can give us and how you actually kept motivated within this goal?
In signing up for it. Well, when I So I did sign up. My good friend got really sick, and it just gave me perspective on life. And I thought, life's short and precious. We need to do things while we can. So I did choose to sign up, still really unsure as to how I was going to possibly reach these distances and do all the training I needed to do. But I think having that perspective on life, and then very sadly, only a few months later, that good friend passed away, and I chose then to dedicate the Ironman to him, and I called it Ironman for Iron Mads. And it was the sense of purpose I felt now in dedicating the event to him. It really was quite extraordinary. I had a drive, and you know, in terms of asking about what motivated me, that was the biggest motivator I could possibly have. So to be doing it in, yes, to be taking on a goal for me, but to be doing it in honor of someone else, of a good friend who I admired greatly, that gave me such a deep and immense sense of purpose. And that was what drove me to, you know, set the alarm for 5 a.m. every morning, to, you know, ride hundreds of kilometers on the bike, to, you know, to honor my recovery, to do my stretches, to do PT sessions, to do everything I needed to do to get to that start line. So tips in terms of motivation, I think when you're taking on a goal or considering taking on a goal, asking yourself why you're doing it and what will achieving it mean. I think having a fundamental sense of purpose to whatever it is we do, that can give us the drive to get there and do what we need to do to get to that goal. I think purpose is part and parcel, is the key to motivation, really. And I certainly felt that to do all I needed to do to get to the Ironman start line. Definitely. Yeah. Good question. Really good question.
I could definitely relate to this book in so many ways. But I just quote here? You say, I learned the hard way when our bodies try to tell us something and we don't listen. The message gets louder and even eventually forces us to stop. I had so many injuries through my marathon challenge personally. So I could sit there and nod and smile and grin and cringe and everything at the same time. So how did you tell us how you got past that? That's a lesson you learned, but is there something that it's a lesson you passed that those signs that the body was telling you this is not good?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Some people could just stop after that and not go ahead with it.
Definitely. And you know, I did. I've been on a journey. So I did my first marathon in 2008, and then I wanted that feeling again, that knowing that anything is possible. So I spent 5 years chasing a second marathon, trained for a bunch of them and didn't get to one start line. I just kept injuring myself. And I think I learned exactly as you've quoted from my book, is I did learn the hard way that, you know, when you don't listen to your body, it does force you to stop, because, you know, I had stress fractures in my tibias, I had Achilles issues, I had bone stress in my toe, ITB stuff. I think it can be one of the most frustrating things for any runner. When you love running, injuries can prevent you from continuing to run, even if it's just for a kilometer. And I found, it was like I was in this cycle of, I just kept, you know, I'd be injury free and I'd be running again and I'd love it, and then bang, something else would happen. A real turning point for me was finding something called kinesiology, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but and you've probably read a bit about it in my book. It's really looking at the relationship between your mind and body. So it's a way of muscle testing to get feedback from the body to tap into any energy blocks and anything that needs to be sort of cleared or supported in some way to be released. I'll do a terrible job of explaining it, so if anyone's interested in checking it out, I'd highly recommend Googling it, kinesiology. And what that did for me was it changed my approach, and I hadn't realized it at the time, but really with my running, it was about trying to keep up with others and almost trying to prove to myself that I was strong, and I had to do a race, another marathon, to prove to me that anything was possible. And it was almost in a way, my mind was calling the shots and I was you know, my body was at the mercy of my mind, sort of in a way. And my body was saying, hang on, we're going too fast. We're going too long. We haven't done our strength training. You know, the injuries come up to prevent you from being able to continue on. And what I did over time with the introduction of kinesiology was I changed my, and it took a while, but changed my approach completely. And it's still a work in progress. But it's very much about working with my body, not against it. Mm. So, and what I mean by that is it's around listening to it. So, and being, yeah, listening to my body. So if I've got calf pain, I'll actually talk to my calf and say, hey, are we okay to keep going? Or do you want to stop and do a little stretch? And if you do, that's okay. We'll do that. So working with my body and really honoring it. So after each run, I thank my body. I'll put my legs in the water of the bay, some ice, sea and ice or cold water therapy to recover. But working with your body can go two ways. It can be some days my body will want to run further than what's on my program. Other days less. So just honoring, you know, honoring my body and working with it, and that real mind body alignment as well. So I changed my, and also the other thing I did was I wasn't governed by my watch in terms of the speed and distance I was doing. I was governed by my heart. So just trying to really tune in and run from my heart, and the joy of it. And yeah, the last marathon I did, I didn't look at my watch once, and I did only 4 weeks training to get to the start line, and I did a personal best time with the opposite approach to how I started, or for the, that was the opposite approach to the first marathon I did. So so I changed my approach completely, but I learned the hard way. But I think sometimes that's the best way to learn, because you realize what doesn't work, and my previous approach really wasn't working, but it helped steer me in the direction to this new approach and a much more joyful approach, and one approach that got better results as well without expecting them or being attached to them.
Yeah. I was really interested in the kinesiology when you're writing about it, because I don't know too much about it. I've had an experience myself with kinesiology where it was actually funny. It was like one of these mind and body events, like an expo of some sort. It was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And I came across the stand for kinesiology. There was, you know, this stand, but it had a whole heap of tables where with, you know, the therapists doing things, but it was like only a short period of time. Yeah. And I don't know if it was 5 or 10 minutes. And this woman was, you know, putting her hands over my body. And then she just went to say, Donna, I think you need, and then someone whispered in her ear, this is really funny. I mean, we laugh about this all the time with my friends. She said, yeah, I think you need, and then another woman that worked there would have spit in her ear like, time's up, and I'm just going, what do I need? What's the problem? And she was saying stuff about my stomach. It was all tight there, which I don't know if she was going to give me a reason why, but it was just kind of my funny experience with kinesiology.
Yes.
When I think
well,
of
probably wasn't, it probably wasn't, yeah, it that probably wasn't necessarily the best introduction.
I know. And it was just like, I left there going, damn, what do I need? What?
That wasn't helpful.
It was just like something really mad with me. But after reading your book, I kind of got a nice feeling about kinesiology after that. And I'm really interested in knowing, without getting too deep about the kinesiology, because this, this interview is so much more. But do you use it in more than just the Ironman? Have you used it in other life experiences than just running?
Yes, yes. How I think so? running introduced me to it, but I've learned so much about life through running, and kinesiology has taught me so much. So, how do I use it? So, I mean, for the Ironman, it helped me work out what nutrition my body wanted, absolutely what if there were injuries or issues, I had gut issues and things like that came up. So it helped me work out what they were and what support my body wanted to clear those. I use it in life all the time. So my good friend who I talk about in the book, Belinda, she's my kinesiologist, and, you know, so many things come up in life, whether it's in business or personal life or, you know, sport. And we can have goals in each of those areas of our lives, and kinesiology can help help align you to those goals. So what support does your body need or do you need to get to those goals? So it absolutely has such practical application across every area of life, definitely. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Yeah. But, yeah, I'd certainly encourage – I mean, it's a different – I guess I've been open to trying new things, and kinesiology is one that I'm so grateful I was open to trying it. Quite possibly not for everyone. You learn a lot about yourself and grow a lot in the process. But
yes.
Yeah, I've so much growth, and I'm so much more in tune with how I'm feeling and why. And I guess, yeah, just really it's helped me listen to my body and then honor myself as well. So it has uses across so many different facets of life for sure.
Hmm. That sounds really interesting. I'm going to, maybe I'll look into it further now.
Yeah, I think you'd, and do you know what, particularly, obviously, you know, if we have various physical conditions and things like that, it can just give us more information as to why those, why those things are happening, but what more support do our bodies want to help move through this phase or this issue we're having. So,
Hey, another thing that I thought that was interesting about your book, and I think a lot of people would be able to relate to this, but yours specifically, it's about telling people about your goals, and yours specifically was about your mum. Telling her was such a big scary thing, I think. And I mean, in general, for the purposes of the listeners too, like, you know, sometimes you have this goal in your mind that you're too scared to tell someone or a group of people or whatever. What was your thing with your mum? Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think once you announce those goals, they become more real almost. Mm. You know? What, if you just sign up to something, you don't tell anyone, maybe it didn't really happen. But if you start announcing it and sharing it, it becomes more real. And especially if it's a big goal. Yeah. So for me, mum, and I have a great relationship with mum. She's so loving and supportive and caring of me. But she likes to, as I now get, mums generally like to worry about their kids, and they care for them greatly. Now, when I did my first marathon, Mum was a little bit worried about me because it was, you know, it was a distance it was a long way, you know, it's quite taxing on the body. And when I did that first marathon, which was, 7 years prior to me trying attempting the Ironman, she said I didn't need to do another marathon. And here I was, I'd signed up to an Ironman, which had a marathon at the end. So I was just a bit apprehensive as to how she'd take it. And I'd built it up so much in my mind that it would land well. So, you know, like sometimes things we just, you know, if we procrastinate about and just build them up so much, it's almost easier to get on and do whatever it is. I'd put off telling her for a long time. So it became this big thing that it probably in hindsight didn't really need to be. But I guess I share it in my book because you're right, you know, sharing our goals with others, you know, is a big thing when we tell others. And for me, that was a big part of my signing up journey, I suppose. So I did, I told her, I sort of muffled over the distances when I did tell her, and then I was staying with mum and dad at the time, and then I went straight to bed, and then we had the conversation the next day at breakfast, as you would have read in my book. And, you know, she was really worried about me, but hat off to her because, you know, over time the comfort level and the support grew, and on race day morning there she was in supporters T-shirt she'd got made with Team Al for all the family. And, of course, she was still worried. You know, she had a few tears as she wished me well when I headed off. But that was her, you know, she found that level of support, and you know, I guess that's unconditional love, isn't it? She was absolutely worried about me, and I did find it hard to tell her, but We got there. We both got there.
Because when I first started reading that bit about your mum, and you hadn't really explained all of that at that stage, when I first read that first paragraph, I thought, oh, okay, what is her mum going to do? And it is quite funny that how we do, and I think it's a really good lesson for all of us, how we do sort of sometimes make these things into something bigger and, you know, like you said, and more dramatic than it is. And but also, I mean, did you have people doubting you at all in a not so positive way? Well, doubt's always not so positive.
Sure.
No, with your idea and your announcement, did you have people just go, "What are you doing?"
Totally. Yeah, I did. I don't think not in a negative way, but in a wow, that's a big goal. You know, like knowing and them knowing that I'd. You know, I was constantly injured as a runner. So, yeah, when I told people, they often would, it was often, wow, awesome, good on you. But it was also it was a combination of, wow, that's a really big goal, Alex, you know, good luck with that almost. So,
yeah.
It was a bit of a mix. A lot of those friends that were encouraging me were just initially were absolutely delighted because, you know, as we spoke about before, I think they saw something in me that I probably hadn't really seen in myself or tapped into in myself in terms of that belief. But then others who they were sort of thinking, oh, yeah, good on you, but wow, that's big. So, yeah, definitely I had quite a mix. And do you know what? I think they often, what people share with us reflects how we feel, right? So that's where I was at. Yeah. I was good on me, but oh my goodness, how am I going to possibly get there? So that was me. It really wasn't till race day morning that I did just a few days before the day of Ironman that I was like, okay, I'm actually going to make it to this start line. And that was after 10 months of training because you know, it's a lot of training, as you know, with your marathon it's a big effort just to get to the start line. Absolutely. To do the distances you need to do in training and the intensity of it. And not do enough, but not too much, so that you injure yourself or overdo it. Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to get to that start line.
I actually found personally myself, I had to sort of, is distance the right word, or just not see those people as often as I would that were the doubters I don't know if it's avoidance or what it is, or just protecting myself, or just. Because the more you hear, and they don't intentionally do it, it's probably out of concern. The more that you hear it, the more you start believing it. And I just had to go, I'm not going to sort of hang around these people as much. And it wasn't a lot of people, but there was those certain people in my life that I think I really needed to grab on to, the positive people, the people that had already done it, but also the people that were following me. You had a following as well on social media and so forth.
That's right,
So that was a gift to me much as, they might have thought that I inspired them. It went both ways. It was really a gift to me and just the support I was getting for fundraising. So your fundraising, let's get to you. What did you raise? And what were you actually?
Yeah, sure.
It was for Mads, your friend named Mads.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So
I was raising Mads. So he sadly and tragically passed away from multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer. And it's deemed as one of the forgotten cancers because no one really knows much about it. There's no cure. It's terminal cancer. So, yeah, I chose to dedicate the Ironman to him, and I also chose to raise money for the Myeloma Australia Foundation of Australia, and I raised over $10,000. And the way you're spot on around that support, the way people instantly rallied behind, people were supporting me anyway for doing it, but once it became a dedication for Mads, the support was just more, I was so overwhelming. People who donated and, you know, kind messages of support. My friends, might have been Mads's friends, it was from all around, was just incredible. And that helped fuel that sense of purpose behind what I was doing as well. So And I think it's a, you know, adding a fundraiser or that sense of purpose to what you're doing in a really genuine way is also a bit of a constructive, it's something you can do. So there are so many situations, you know, we can't do anything about, but giving people hope and strength and focus on something, which is what my Ironman did, I think that's something that can help in some way, even if it's short-lived.
Yeah,
so it was an awareness raiser, it was a fundraiser, and the sense of purpose was phenomenal.
Yeah, which obviously gives you more drive and motivation, as we were saying.
It does. Oh, completely. Yeah. And I think you're right in terms of, you know, whether you need to distance yourself from people or not, but doing whatever you need to do, whatever helps get you to that start line or that job interview or that whatever it may be, I think that's really, and that's about honouring yourself, as I spoke about earlier. So do whatever helps you get to wherever you want to go. And if it means having conversations with some versus others or listening to some versus others, then do that. That's okay. Because if it benefits you, and what you're about, I think it flows to those around you as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So I admire you for doing for that, because some comments are helpful and some aren't necessarily. So
I know, and it's just, it wasn't so obvious for them.
No, I understand. Yes.
For them probably, but I just thought, if I keep hearing this, will I start believing it myself?
Totally, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And we often have enough talk going on, you know, that internal dialogue with ourselves anyway.
Yeah, those voices in your head. Hey, I want to know how you actually adjust to everyday life after a major challenge such as an Ironman.
Yeah, sure. Good question. Really good question, Donna.
Do you still go and like keep training, and or do you just gradually wean off, or do you just stop?
Yeah, good question. So I've done a bit of both across in different areas of my life, I suppose. So doing that first marathon, I wanted to chase that second one, and I just couldn't for so many years. And then signing up to Ironman, and then I did so after Ironman, I actually took a week off work and I just rested, recovered, It was a really good. That was a really good way of really thanking my body, honoring the whole experience, because it was a big one, especially being such a big event physically, mentally, and emotionally. Having dedicated to my friend as well, so just having that time to just stop and pause and let it all sink in, that was really important. Mm. And actually, I'd already signed up later that year to the New York Marathon, so that was when after a bit of recovery, that was then the next goal. And I think I do enjoy having those big goals, but it's about having some recovery time afterwards. And I remember at one point I didn't have a race I was training for. I was just running, you know, for the love of it. And I found that was good, but I sort of missed that big goal. So then which is why I then signed up to another the Sydney Marathon, which was my last marathon so far. And that was just 4 weeks out, and I enjoyed, you know, I found that I missed having that big goal. And look, now I'm just running. I'm just, you know, doing a few Ks here and there. So really I will do another marathon, but I've got a little boy, James, who's almost two. So running is, I guess it's taken a back seat for me, obviously, during pregnancy and when he was very little. I am back running now and I'm loving it, but I'm not running the distances I was before. Right. I will do another marathon, I'm sure, not right now. But I'm sort of missing that. But I guess it's just about balancing life, isn't it? And working out what different chapters in life, what's more important, and trying to get that balance right, and probably doing a terrible job in the process.
I don't think so. You've done great. Yeah. I mean, you've just finished writing a book. What is it that you miss though? Like you're saying you miss the goal. What is it that you actually miss?
I think it's that, and my days are very full of love and joy at the moment with James, and also challenge that comes with parenthood as well. Mm. But I think I miss reflecting back. You know, when you go after a goal that there is a clear start and finishing, like it's a very defined, clear goal and a very clear way of, you know, possibly sort of getting there, and with such sense of purpose and drive. There is so much joy running has brought me in terms of being able to do, you know, marathons and or the one Ironman. Yeah, it's that mm-hmm. sense of internal drive. And now my drive's different. It's really, but well, being predominantly, first and foremost, being a mum and being the best mum and person I can be for James. Launching the book, which I felt a similar drive for.
Yeah.
I think goals are, I think we should always have a goal. It might not always be a big stretch goal. It could be just a goal for today. But I think those goals give us that drive and focus, definitely. Yeah.
Is it, I don't know if this is rude to, I mean, it's not really rude to ask, but is it weird to ask? Would you call James an actual goal? Was he something someone that you wanted in your life and you made it happen?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Totally. Oh, he's the biggest goal I've had and could, and yeah, biggest sense of purpose I could possibly have as well. He's changed my life and he's by far the best thing that's happened to me for sure. Yeah, he's a goal in a different way. He's not a marathon.
No, but you did it in an unusual way. Can we speak about that?
We sure can, yeah. So I chose to bring James into the world on my own as a solo parent. Went on an IVF journey and with a donor. It was a very courageous decision to choose that path. I'm so glad I did. And doing things like the marathons and the Ironman, I think, gave me the courage to do more and to, you know, potentially to make that decision as well, because they helped me realize, which is essentially what the book is about as well, they helped me realize that anything is possible, that if you set your heart and mind to something, you can achieve anything. And parenthood for me was like that too. Bringing James into the world, you know, that was you know, something that became possible, and
nice.
He's changed my world and how I see it in so many ways, and I'm immensely grateful for that and for all that he's taught me so far.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How is it, give us an example. How has he changed your world?
For a start, he's slowed me right down in a way of just being in the moment. So it might be whether it's day or night, like fully present and in the moment, adjusting. You've got to adapt big time, moment to moment.
Would you say that you were a bit of a planner before and now you find
planner, to-do list.
No, there's no planning now.
I would plan. I'd have a to-do list. I'd be very organized. Now the day might, you know, be completely different to how I'd plan to have. I actually don't plan too much now. Definitely. He's taught me so much. Just seeing him, you know, he loves running. He walked for about a week and now he just runs. So
in mum's footsteps.
the joy in his face running around the house, around the park or on the beach or whatever, just that innocent fascination and joy and freedom that you see in so many babies or children. It's there's something so inspiring about it. And just had it.
I can see that. Yeah, I can tell when you speak about it and it lights you up. Yeah.
It does. It does. And he does. And also just that, I don't know, I think as we get older, we can, I don't know, you can take life so seriously and get bogged down in whatever it may be. But just that pure joy of finding, I don't know, playing with a toy or giggling at something, just for the pure, you know, joy of it. The fun and joy. He really has, and also to be able to create him, you know, inside me and give birth to him and things like that, and to see him grow and develop from a tiny baby not able to move limbs and things to then be off running and having taught himself so much, it's really quite magical to watch that development in these little people of ours. So he's taught me he's taught me a lot and has changed my world and the way I see it too.
Awesome. Well done.
Thank you
Well, it is a big scary thing to do on your own, I would imagine, like, you know,
it is.
Yeah.
But I think I also think just parenthood itself, however you do it, Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's, they talk about, you know, you're never really ready, nothing can prepare you, and that's so true. And I think everyone experiences it differently. However you do it, I think it can be, it is incredibly, you know, it's such a beautiful thing, and a, you know, it's, yeah, it's incredible, but it's, it also has its, has its challenges. And I think I think a lot of worthwhile things in life do. So yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Hey, speaking of changes, getting back to training for a major goal, and whether it's like physically training or whatever goal it is, what changes do you need to make in your life to do that? Like, do you do it by a plan? Like, we're talking about plans before. Yeah. Is there a strategy that you use, and would you use it for all of your goals, or do they differ?
Yeah, there is. And actually, I've as I wrote my book, I reflected on what helped me get to the goals I got to, and I put together 12 steps. So maybe, I don't know if we've got time, maybe I could run through those briefly.
For sure.
If you like.
Time. Yep. No time limit.
No time limit. That's a dangerous thing. The first thing is, and these are for goals, and they're also, I found them helpful for everyday life as well.
Okay.
And I keep drawing back to them, and they're still a work in progress for me. I by no means have these all, you know, all 100% landed, but they're, when I reflect on goals and on life, I think when I'm doing these things, things are happening, things are in flow. So the first one,
well, that's what we want. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first one is,
exactly. The first one is know your essence. So I think this is a really good one to get clear on what your essence and what your purpose is, what life's about for you, what drives you, what matters to you. And mine is about inspiring possibility. So when I'm doing things associated with that, that's really what lights me up. So I think that's a good one for everyone to get clear on, knowing your essence or your purpose. I'll run through them, but you jump in at any point, Donna. The second one is having a goal, as we spoke about before, and I know this is all about goals, your awesome podcast, but I think it's really important to have a goal. And it might be a big stretch goal, or it might just be a goal for today, but something that you're focused on. I think that's really, really important, having a goal at all points in your life. Giving it purpose. You know, I spoke about the sense of purpose I felt doing my Ironman. I think loading your goal with a sense of purpose, asking yourself why you're doing it and why achieving it will matter, I think that's really, really important as well, and worthwhile thinking about as you take on your goal and as you plan for your goal.
Yeah,
asking yourself what purpose it serves. Signing up, you know, the Nike tagline, just do it, nothing happens if nothing happens. So actually signing up, that's a really courageous part of any journey, including telling those around you.
Yeah, I just think saying it out aloud was a big thing for me, because I had nothing to sign up for at the time, but just saying it to certain people as well, like, and yours was your mother, but I remember saying it just to a group of friends after a social thing, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions and so forth.
Yep.
And it was just like those words, just like trying to force them out of my mouth.
It makes it real, doesn't it? So whether it's signing up or committing to it in some way, whatever the goal.
That was my signing up.
There you go. And it's a big step, and it's a chance to show that you're serious about whatever goal it is. So that's the fourth one. The next one is give it your all. And I talk about this being so there's so many different resources and elements within us. I believe we've got the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual sort of elements and resources within us. And this is about when you're planning for your goal, using all these resources. Mm-hmm. So using your mind and your mental strength to believe you can do it. What emotional support have you got around you? And the spiritual side of things as well. So looking at all of these facets when you're planning for your goal, I think we often, and this is how I came across kinesiology, but we often, you know, particularly for a marathon, it can just be the physical training, and I don't think we're setting ourselves up for the most success we possibly could by not tapping into these other dimensions as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So giving your goal all of yourself, make it a co-creation. So this one I talk about using the environment around us. So nothing, we're not operating in nothing we do in life is in isolation or in a bubble. We do it in the environment around us, and leveraging, it'll mean different things based on what your goal is, but leveraging that environment and the people around you in some way. The cheer squad and supporters is a key one. As you said, you know, your support crew helped you enormously. That's a way of leveraging that environment to help fuel you and give you strength.
Definitely.
So that's the sixth one I've got. Adapt as you go. You know, James has taught me this so much, but you might have a bit of a plan, but you've just got to constantly adapt because things change. And if you're open to flowing with that change, then versus resisting it, I think it can feel a lot better and, you know, be more easily, you know, give you more success as well by adapting as you go, being really open and flexible. I think that's a key versus rigid and stuck to the plan. Especially with running, you know, if you just, you're injured, but you're going to try and do the 30K run you had on your plan anyway, that's only going to end one way.
No.
Whereas if you can say, you know what, today's a rest day, I need to adapt, okay. So I think that's a good one as well. Adapt as you go. See setbacks for the gifts they bring. This is about, yeah, really embracing setbacks and see if you can find the gift and the learning in them. And if you can, there's always something. It's hard to see at the time. But there will always be some sort of gift in a setback you come across. And I think the more readily you can embrace it, I'm not sure if you've found this, more readily you can embrace it and move on from it, the better. Because we, you know, it can make achieving our goal all the more worthwhile, and it can also help us, grow and learn in ways we wouldn't have otherwise.
It's lessons, basically. It's really learning. It's learning from it. And I understand fully what you're saying. And I sometimes think when things are hard in any goal, we're not just talking about running, but we get what you call it setbacks and so forth. And you think, damn, but then it's also good. Sometimes in the moment it's really hard to find that. But later on, I agree, you just do sit and go, okay, so it happened there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I learned from that.
Yeah, and absolutely. Maybe
why it happened.
Yeah, that's right. And you're right. Often when you're in it, you've got to honour however you're feeling. But down the track, you know, reflecting back on it, and then you can sometimes connect dots that you wouldn't have otherwise when you are really in it. But I think that's a good one to
definitely
good perspective to bring to them anyway. The ninth one, make it about the journey. So yeah, this is really about not making that goal about a single point in time, but the full experience it is, because then you get, you know, I guess you get more out of it as well. And then it kind of doesn't matter how the goal goes, because but you've got such a rich experience of that journey to get there. Otherwise, you're denying that journey if you just make it about that point
agreed.
In time.
Yeah.
And this leads into the next one around letting go of expectations. So you will have an outcome in mind for your goal, but if you can let go of the attachment to your expectations around it, it removes the pressure on yourself and also, you know, the concept of, you know, hope there being only one possible outcome. I think using an outcome to aim for, but not measure your success by, is, for me anyway, I think that's a more helpful way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you had, let's just using the marathon analogy, a certain time in mind, if you didn't reach that time, a time goal, then you think you failed. You didn't actually. You got to the start line. You achieved a marathon. Okay, maybe you were 10 minutes off the time you thought you were, but, you know, you wanted to get to, but what else did you take from the day?
Yes, I've seen a few people do that. Yes, they get so fixated on their expectation.
Yes.
And sometimes some things do happen in our journey. And like I said before, it's not just with running, it's with life, it's with work experience or whatever journey, parenting. Mm-hmm. I agree. You really need to let go of that expectations and enjoy the journey and not have so much pressure, but it's putting pressure on yourself as well, I think.
It
And
is.
I remember you used a quote in the book that I was really drawn to. It was, I was training for the joy in it, not the need of it.
And absolutely.
So making sure you're enjoying it, I think is what you're saying here as well.
Definitely. And results will come from that, but not being completely results driven, because then you miss all the other, the other stuff.
Yeah.
Probably won't bring the best out of yourself either, because you're putting pressure on yourself around, I have to get this time, I have to get this time, or whatever.
And everyone, and you get a bit anxious and also, kind of not great to hang around with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And everyone's going, what is with that person? So you don't want to lose friends from it.
No, that's right. That's right. And then the two more to go. 11th one, taking confidence from the past. So this is really around, drawing on things you've done in the past that can help fuel your future as you take on other goals. So for me, achieving the marathons and the Ironman I did, that's fueled so much of what I've gone on to do, because I say to myself, if I can do that when I didn't believe I could at the time, well, I can do whatever this other thing is that I'm considering taking on. So I think for all of us, there are whether it's goals we've achieved or whether it's just things we've got through, like hard challenging times in our lives we've actually got through, I think it's important to remember those things. And I call them belief boosters, because they help boost our self-belief to take on future goals. And I think that's a really valuable thing to do when looking at goals. And the last one is, which I love, it's let the impact ripple. So this is all about taking on a goal will have an impact on your life in some way. And this is about consciously allowing it to have even more of an impact in every area of your life. So it could be, for me, doing Ironman then led to, launching my own business. It gave me the courage to launch my own business. And then, in essence, obviously a lot of other things happened, but gave me the courage to go down the solo parenting journey as well. That's a training sort of goal, a work goal, and then a personal life family goal as well. Yeah. I've allowed, those goals can not just stay in that one area of our life. They can they can flow to other areas of our lives and the people around us as well. So consciously allowing that to happen and intentionally doing it, I suppose, letting that impact ripple, the impact of the goals you take on to ripple throughout your life and those around you as well. And vice versa, the goals we see others take on can impact our lives in more ways as well.
True. And that's why I think, and they're great tips. Thank you for those 12 tips.
That's okay.
And that's what I think also when you were talking about this, I was thinking it has led you to do other things, and that is one-on-one coaching that you do, the keynote speaking engagements, and a new online program, which I want to talk to about that too. But it's also made and a lot of times we don't realize this, a role model for others, and people are watching, you're inspiring other people. And if good things can come out of that, brilliant. So I think sometimes we forget that, and I think especially I'm not a parent myself, but I think that really matters in parenting too. You have a child that is watching you, not just you specifically, Alex.
He's watching me, I can tell.
But I'm talking about generally, when we think about our behaviors and when we want to achieve something, or we find it was all too hard and give up or whatever, you've got people that are watching. And I know it's not all about the other people either, but it sort of, it brings it out into your other areas of your life, like your work, emotional, and all of that, the side of things as well. So I think that's really important to remember that.
I completely agree. You're spot on. And even though we have no idea what us showing our strength or our whatever maybe positivity or inspiration or whatever it may be, that could have an impact on someone else who really needs it in that moment, and we might have no idea that that was, you know, such just the trigger for something, change they need.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure your book is doing that for so many people, and well done on the book. I love it. The Power of Possibility, you, like I said before. Hey, I want to ask the two questions that I always ask everyone. Who inspires you and why? Who's your superhero?
Oh, you know, right, it's James for me. He's my inspiration, to be honest, because I see that innocence and that purity in what he does and that joy of life. And I see him grow and develop in ways that we have all grown and developed. You know, we might just not be able to remember it, but he's my inspiration. He's my why, every day and night. Yeah. Mm. And if I can be the best person I can be, you know, to be the best person I can be, but to do that for him, then and showing him by example, he's my inspiration. So I guess he's my little superhero. And also, you know, from a parenting perspective, it's not a one way street. He chose to be here and be here with me as well. So and I'm so grateful for that. So yeah, James is my little superhero.
And also, do you have a favorite quote or mantra you use when aiming for your goals? Is there something you can share with us?
Yeah, there's one I came up with. I've got so many. I had a wall of inspiration and motivation training for Ironman. There's one though that I used for the Sydney Marathon, and I draw on it now sometimes, but if it gets tough, and it will, know you've got what it takes, because you do.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was just one I came up with, you know, knowing that at the late stages of the marathon I'd find it hard, but knowing I had what it would take to get there. So that's one that I think helps in challenging sort of times.
You do have what it takes, Alex.
Yeah, that, well, we all do. It's just a matter of sort of tapping into it.
Do you want to tell us a little bit before you go about your new online program? What is
that? Yeah, sure. Love to. Yeah, I'm calling it the Power of Possibility Academy. Awesome. And it's actually those 12 steps I mentioned. I'm building them into individual modules to take people through a self-paced learning. So if they have a goal in mind, or it might help them find a goal, then they can join the academy and work through each of the modules. So there's a video that I talk about that part of the module. There's some coaching notes and some exercises as well for them to work through. So that's it. And I didn't hope to have it launched by Christmas. It's probably not going to be there, but it'll certainly be launched in the new year, and hopefully might help people take on their new year goals in heading into 2021 as well.
To actually find that, and it sounds like a great program. Is that like something that's done in 12 weeks or 12 months, or what do you?
It can. It can act. You know what? It can actually be any. They can do it in any length of time, going at their own pace.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing it as, it'll be a lifetime membership, so they sign up and they can access it, you know, for as long as the program runs, which is indefinitely at this stage.
Yeah.
So it could be someone's got a week off work and they want to, you know, in that week or few days, just do it really intensely and work through all the modules. Or it might be doing a module each week, so doing it over 12 weeks. So they can go at absolutely any pace.
Yeah.
And also come back in and use any of the exercises and references they'd like to as well. So, the idea is that, yeah, it just helps people with a framework to take on any sort of goal. And in my book, I've got a little snippet of each of those 12 steps and a little exercise, but the online program goes into it all in more detail as well.
When this is actually brought out this podcast, because it may not be straight away, if it's not up yet, where can people just keep track of you? Is it at your website to find out
it's
going to be, or
yeah, sure.
I've got
yeah, no websites. Yeah, Well, sure. Website's probably the best spot. AlexandraAndre.com.
Yeah.
And if anyone's interested in a copy of the book and hearing more about my journey, they can order a book there, and also enroll in the program if that's something of interest, or certainly look sure. more into it. My website's probably the best spot to
go to
for people to head to if they wanted to check out more. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I also, for anyone who's listening and running, perhaps I will put the show notes on the I will put the link on the show notes for them to look at later at readysetgoalpodcast.com. Go to that. Or just on the bottom of the, whatever platform that you're listening to, it will be there so people can contact you and follow your journey. And also get the book, The Power of Possibility. I love it. I cannot go on about it. So I was so excited. I think you saw on Facebook when I got it.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
It's been awesome to read, and really it's an easy read, but a great, inspiring story and just motivation, you know. I just felt like, and I've been telling the whole world about it, so, and I wouldn't say that wouldn't go on about a book unless I really loved it. So I really advise anyone that's listening to grab it. Great Christmas present too. So I'm not sure if it's too late for Christmas. Oh well, you can always get it after Christmas, doesn't matter.
Yeah, not at the moment, but depends when the show goes live. But look, it's
birthday, everything.
New Year gift.
That's right. All right. Yeah. Well, I think we've covered a lot. Yeah,
we have covered a lot.
Speaking to you, Alex, and I'm going to follow your journey, of course, and look at your programs and whatever you're up to in the future. So, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Donna. Great conversation, and thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations on all the podcasts you put out there. There's some great topics and inspiration for people to learn from. So, thank you for inviting me to be on it. It's been great. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much. Bye for now.
Okay. All right. Bye, Donna.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Ready, Set, Goal podcast with Donna Campisi. Please take a moment to rate and review this podcast on your preferred podcast app. I'm really grateful for your feedback. Each rating and review helps us fulfill our goal of giving inspiration to many.